Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you today. Thank God for all of you. And I put my trust in him. You know, this morning as I was in my time with God, what kept coming through my mind is whatever you're going through, put your trust in him. If the baby needs food, put your trust in him. If you need a dress for church, put your trust in him. If you need gas for your car, put your trust in him. If you need a shoulder to cry on in the middle of the night, put your trust in him. Whatever you may need, put your trust in him, and he will provide because you put your trust in him. If you need the bills to be paid because your check wasn't right, put your trust in him, and he will, that bill take flight. God is always there letting us know that we have and must put our trust in him. Glory be to the name of Jesus and to the Father who is the source of our strength because we put our trust in him. Trust in the Lord today with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your spirit, with every part of your being. Trust in the Lord, and he will make everything all right. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God, good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'm going to trust in the Lord. Because he is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. So I say to you today, trust God. Watch him work in your life. Because there is none like our Father God. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in your word. And that what Pastor Murphy sings, you know, I will trust in the Lord. And I can do nothing less than trust God. I've seen it work too many times in my life, and I'm wondering and I'm hoping that you've seen it work in your own, because there's none like our God. And I just want to give my condolences today to all those that are in Texas who lost a loved one. You know, you think you're 14-year-old child is safe because they're at a concert. And I'm sure that these families did not want to lose a child. And I'm sure that the person whose concert they went to didn't want anybody's child lost. So I pray this morning for Travis Scott and his family. Morning for all those that lost their life in this awful, awful tragedy. I pray that all things will work for the good of those that are loving God. You know, and like I said, this is what Travis Scott says. It says he is devastated over the daily event that unfolded at his Astroworld Festival. And this is a worldly festival that is held, I don't know if it's annual, in Houston. And this is what he says. I just want to send prayers to the ones that was lost last night. He told fans in a video posted on Instagram, "You know my fans really mean the world to me. And I always really want to leave them with a positive experience." And it says this, authorities confirm 8 people died Friday night during the sold-out music event held at Houston's NRG Park. Though the investigation is ongoing, police said the deaths occurred around 9:15 local time as a large crowd rushed to the main stage to catch Scott's headlining performance. It believes that the wave of concert goers sparked panic, causing some attendees to fall to the ground, pass out, and go into cardiac arrest. 7 of the victims were repeating in 27. And so I just say, Father God, I ask you, as we get ready to start this show today, to please increase as we decrease. Father God, I pray for the souls of those that were lost, going through the wide gate, following the crowd that stampeded and killed fellow concert goers. Lord God, I pray for Mr. Scott. You will watch over him and bless his heart to know that the world is not the best place to be. And that maybe, as he prays for the salvation of those that lost their life, that each one was saved, that each one knew you, and each one are in your presence. Father God, we ask that this word that is preached today touch hearts, touch minds, touch spirits, and that they open up to feel your presence, oh God. For there is none like you, Father. For you are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning and you are end. You are our Father. You are our friend. You are our Savior. And it's in the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, who you sent, your Son, your only Son, to die on Calvary's cross and take our sins to the grave, that death has no power anymore over us, and that the evil one can slink back to his pit from which he came. Father God, we ask your protection and your coverage over our families, over the families of those that are bereaved. I ask you, Lord, to lift them up, knowing that absent from the earthly body is in your presence, oh God. In the name of Jesus, again, I pray, Lord, lifting up this word, that it be a sweet aroma in your nostrils, and that it touches hearts and minds and spirits of those that listen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. So let's get started in this wonderful, awesome word this morning. And all I can say is thanks be to God, who causes us to triumph in his name. And again, I say, I put my trust in him. And I am excited. We started a new book, the Book of Lamentations, on Friday, and Ezekiel on Friday. So we finished Lamentations, finished Lamentations on Thursday, started Ezekiel on Friday. And so today we are in Hebrews in the New Testament, again starting a new book of the Bible. We finished up Philemon, and now we're getting ready to start into Hebrews. And I got my little book, the Know Your Bible, and it says this, not stated, Paul, Luke, Barnabas, and Apollos have all been suggested as the authors of Hebrews. But many of us say it was probably Paul and Luke that wrote it. But it says that the date was probably sometimes between A.D. 70, since Hebrews refer to temple sacrifices. The Jerusalem temple was destroyed by Romans in A.D. 70. And it says in 10 words or less, Jesus is better than any Old Testament person or sacrifice. And I'm going to read that again. the sum up of Hebrews. Jesus is better than any Old Testament person or sacrifice. Details, please. Written to Jewish Christians, hence the name Hebrews, this long letter emphasizes the superiority of Christianity to Old Testament Judaism. Jesus is so much better, 1 and 4, than angels, Moses, and the previous animal sacrifices. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, Hebrews asks, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, 9:13-14. Jewish Christians, some of whom were apparently wavering in their commitment to Jesus, are reminded that Christ is the better mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, a once-for-all sacrifice on the cross that provides eternal redemption for us. Thank you, God. Jesus provides eternal redemption for all of us. And some quotables. Chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape salvation? 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. 10:25. We give honor to God for his great word, that not only touches our heart, it touches our mind. And today we will be only in Hebrews because we got all of our other words, our Psalms and our Proverbs and Ezekiel done on Thursday and Friday. So the word for this morning says this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Thanks be to God. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Ooh. But to which of the angels has he ever said, set at my right hand till I make enemies your footstool. Come on now. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to for those who will inherit salvation? We all have our angel that loves us and watches over us. You know, I'm sure I've given this testimony. I think I was about 4 years old. I was asleep with my mom. But I was a worrywart. I was a worrying little girl because there was some things that was going on in my life. You know, my mom was very young when I was born. And so it was, you know, a village coming into my life that I didn't know at that time. But at that particular moment, it was just me and my mom. That was the only person I could depend on was my mom. But I walked in fear as a little girl because I had, you know, when she had to work, I had been, you know, given to some people that were not always the nicest folks. You know, getting locked in a bathroom where I couldn't reach the light switch and, you know, different little things that were not nice. And so I walked in fear. But I remember one night feeling a hand touch me. At first, I was really, really scared. And then I felt this calmness come over me. And it's like I heard a voice that says, it's going to be all right. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. And his hand was patting my hand. You know, like a mom rubs your hand and pats it. You know how I call it the old folks used to do? They rub your hand and pat it when you were just not feeling your best. They kind of rub your hand and they give you a little pat. And that's what was going on. My hand was being rubbed and given a pat as if to say, it's going to be all right. And that's what I heard in my spirit, going to be all right. Now, understand at that time, I used to sit on my front porch on Sundays and watch my great-grand-aunt go to church. And I always wanted to go with her, but again, I didn't have the clothes and the shoes and any of the things, you know, and I'm just going to be honest, I was not the cleanest little girl either, because I play outside and fall in the dirt and just have a ball, you know, and I would watch and I'd cry and I'd want to go to church. And then one Saturday, my godmother and my great aunt took me over to her, took me to her house. And she showed me all these beautiful clothes that were mine so I could go to church. And again, I always get teary-eyed when I tell this testimony because I tell you this, and I'm speaking to all you out there, you don't know if there's a child that's watching you, a child that wants emulate you, a child that just wants to go to church. And so she bought me the clothes and she gave me the bath and she did my hair and I got to go to church. And I've been going to church ever since. I had some years that I didn't. That's another testimony. But the one thing that I learned as a little child is that I can trust in God, that I can trust in that voice that pats your hand and says, it's going to be all right, that I can trust that all will work for my good. That I lived in was the house of the parents of my great-grand-aunt. Her mother and her father passed in that house. And there were those that would say, well, it probably was a ghost. No, it was my angel. And I believe that my angel has been with me all my life, from the womb until the grave. I believe that my angel that says it's going to be all right, then the Lord God, to trust in the Savior, is always going to be there. because I listen and I trust in God and I trust in the Savior. And the desire of my heart was to go to church as a little girl, and I got it. The desire of my heart was to have a mommy and a daddy, and I got it. God has been with me. So grateful that I trust in him. And you have to trust in him too, because there's nobody like him. There's no Savior like Jesus Christ. There's never going to be a Savior like Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is Yahshua HaMashiach. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is the Messiah. Hebrews 1:8 says, and Dr. Stanley gives us a life lesson. He says, to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever. Repeatedly, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is to be worshipped as God, praised as the Creator, recognized as ruler, and glorified as God's only Son. When we hear Jesus, we hear God. When we observe Jesus, we observe God. If we ever want to know what God is like or how he might act or where he might go, all we have to do is watch Jesus. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation? We may not see most of their activity, but God has given his angels the job of ministering to us. We may never know how often an angel spares us from injury, guided us to safety, or engineered some success. And all I can say is I'm still here. I'm still here. I shouldn't be here. I got hit as a 7-year-old by a car. And I shouldn't be here, but God. And yes, I get aches and pains as a reminder of being a disobedient child. But I tell you, every day I thank God that he gave me life. And he gave me life more abundantly. Because I shouldn't have made it, but I did. Because of my angel, because of God, laid me on the ground when I should have been knocked up into the air and had all kind of broken bones, but all I had was a sprained knee. Come on now. A few scrapes and some bruises. But overall, I was pretty doggone good. I couldn't walk, but I sure could be grateful. And I'm thankful every day. Every day. God spared my life. Today. Don't forget your blessings. Don't forget that God is always there with you. That he will send a prophet. That he will send whatever you need for whatever the situation is. Keep God first in everything. And watch him work in your life. Grateful, thankful, and blessed this morning as we read the word of God. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which came by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to scoff. Let me read that again. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjugation to angels, But one testified in a certain place saying, what is a man? Y'all ready? Read this. This is one of those highlightables. This whole section is a highlightable. For he has not put the world, I'm saying it one more time, to come of which we speak in subjugation to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is a man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjugation under his feet. For in that he put all the subjugation under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. But it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which one? He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. That's our title today. And again, here I given me. Hallelujah. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. And our Savior is Jesus Christ, who has taken us all like a big old hen to her chicks and put us under his wings. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. For God has given us a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. We are blessed beyond measure to be daughters of the Most High, sons of the Most High, children of the Most High. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death. That is the devil, and he did, and he will. He took the keys to heaven and said, not anymore. Because when the sons of God would visit, the slimy little snake would ease up there too. But God is getting rid. He was barred when Jesus took the keys. He can't come in anymore. And released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We are in bondage so many times, bondage over so many things. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if it was Dr. Stanley or another pastor. It might have been, I'm not sure which pastor I was listening to that made this comment, but it was so apropos. If all your problems can be fixed with a check, you have no problems. And I say that again. If all your problems can be fixed with a check, you have no problems. It might have been Dr. Stanley, but I tell you this. We are blessed. If only all your problems can be fixed with a check, you have no problems. You just have an issue with spending, and you need to bring it down. Go on a little frugal. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. We got to understand that all things are working for our good because we trust in God. This is another word. It says, for indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he has to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And I'm going to go back and read that one more time. Again, that's another highlightable, starting in verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, which is us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Again, us. But in that he himself has suffered being tempted. We all know he was tempted just like we are by the enemy, by the little slimy snake. Worship me. I'll make those stones into bread. Throw yourself off the temple. But what did Jesus do? He stood on these biblical instructions before leaving earth. Man cannot live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before him. It all down. The Lord has put it all in this basic instruction. All we have to do is read it. And I have some words from Dr. Stanley. And the first is this. What does the Bible say about our great salvation? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, what has been the greatest moment of your life? For some people, the answer might be their wedding day, the birth of a child, or an important promotion. But for believers, the best experience is salvation, when their eternal destiny was changed. New Christians often have a fervor to share their faith. In time, however, many find their hearts cooling as they focus less on the relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2 and 1 instructs we must give the more earnest heed things we have heard, lest we drift away. Salvation is God's amazing solution to man's sinful condition. It is his gift of rescue through the death of Jesus from the penalty of our transgressions. Paul says that before Christ entered our life, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. No matter how good our behavior may have seemed, we were spiritually dead and separated from God. Receiving Christ's forgiveness breathed life back into our spirits so that we could go before the Father's throne. We must not forget what Jesus did for us. We have the balm to soothe our hurting heart. We come in contact with every day. But if excuses crowd our mind before passion fills our hearts, people will never hear. Thankfully, we can rediscover the passion of our early Christian days. Take time today to praise God for his salvation, which delivered you from a path toward disaster. Then commit to carrying out your part in the Great Commission by talking about Jesus with someone in your life, Matthew 28 and 19. And that is what I'm doing today, talking to you about Jesus, because there's no other Savior. There's no other Son of God. There's no other besides his Father. Hallelujah. We are blessed to be children of God. We are blessed to be saved by the blood of salvation through Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2 and 17, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus had to leave heaven and take on human flesh, not only to become our sacrifice, but also so he would know experientially exactly what it's like to be one of us. He experienced everything we experience. Everything. That's what makes him a great advocate. He defeats Satan and forever takes away the weapon of death so that God's people might say goodbye to fear and hello to life. Hello to life. Hebrews 2:18. He himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. We can never say to him, you don't know what it's like, because he does. In fact, we know less of the pain of temptation than he does, since he never gave into it. Woo, hallelujah. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. And it is a great word. I am just so excited. This word is just doing something for this girl this morning. Hebrews 3. And it says this: therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built God, y'all, he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony, ooh, hallelujah, of those things which would be spoken afterwards, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And we know what happened, don't we? They all died in the wilderness because they was a hard-hearted, rebellious group, just like their descendants, time of Jeremiah, in the time of Isaiah, in the time of Nehemiah, in the time of Ezekiel, didn't want to do right in the time of Daniel, rebellious and hard-hearted and hard-headed, listening to Prophet Elias and listening to the people, the prophets of God, because the prophets of God made them uncomfortable. Oh, it makes me uncomfortable. Get over it. A prophet's going to tell you the truth. All you got to do is listen, and it might be uncomfortable. Get over it. Deal with it, because sometimes you need to get uncomfortable. Sometimes you need that little push, that little shove to make you understand who's in charge, and it's not us. Hallelujah. And this is what it tells us in chapter 3:12. Beware, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We got to believe. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Yes, there's a whole lot of upcoming atheists that don't believe in this and don't believe in that. But you know what? You just keep speaking the name of Jesus. And when they have that experience, they'll know who you're talking about. Jesus is his name. And if you want to say it is Yahshua, Yahshua, we all know that that's his name. But we call him Jesus. We call him the Christ. We call him our Savior. We call him our friend. We call him everything. And we call on him for everything. Because it's by his stripes that we are healed from all the infirmities. It's by his stripes we are healed from the attacks of the enemy. It's by his stripes we are healed from the wiles of the devil who tries to snare you in his grip. We are healed from ourselves. 39. As that blood flows over us, because his blood still has miraculous power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As the psalmist says, as you're sick in the body, it still flows. The blood still flows through each and every one of us. All we have to do is believe and have faith that all things work for our good because we trust in the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. You got to understand a hard heart is not going to get you to heaven. It's going to have you running and following the crowds and being stampeded over. We got to understand God is praying for life lost. All lives lost. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Pray for those that love God and those that don't know him. Pray the hardest. Pray the hardest. Hebrews 3:1, what the Bible says. Hebrews 3:1 tells us, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. This single verse overflows with assurance for the believer. For first, note that it addressed to the holy brothers. This refers to anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ. I put my trust in him. As Lord and Savior, the word holy signifies that believers have been set apart for God. I put my trust in him. Because of who you are in Christ, God sees you as unique. Unique, you're unique, we're unique. Neither your profession, your salary, your appearance, or your nationality defines you. Can I read that again? In this world of craziness. Let's say it one more time. And this is to all believers out there. And to those that don't believe, that I pray will one day believe. Neither your profession, your salary, your appearance, or your nationality defines you. Only your status as a child of God gives you the special identity you enjoy. As one of the partakers of a heavenly calling, your destination is heaven. Can y'all say that with me? My destination is heaven. Your heart resides with Christ where your home is. Knowing where your home is means you aren't searching for this temporary dwelling. Earth to satisfy earth, regardless of what happens around you, you can rejoice because this life does not hold you. God does. Woo, praise the Lord. By knowing who you are in Christ, you can deny all the false messages of the world. Many strident voices will try to convince you that you're not pretty enough, not smart enough, not successful enough. But your identity in Christ alone completes you. You can add nothing to it, and this world distractors can take nothing from it. Can the church say amen? The final phrase of Hebrews 3:1 reminds us that Jesus is our apostle and high priest. the first title signifies that Jesus represents God to us. When we want to know what God is like or how God would act in a given situation, we look to Jesus. The second title signifies that Jesus represents us to God. God looks at his children through the eyes of his blameless and holy Son. The command in this verse tells believers to consider Christ Jesus. The word consider means to observe or think. We are to observe Christ, meditate on his word, and imitate what we see. Let the assurance of your identity home and Lord inspire you to explore new depths of God and serve him with all your heart. You won't be disappointed. And I say again, I put my trust in him. Hebrews 3 and 6, life lessons from Dr. Stanley. Whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Those who truly accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will persevere in their faith until the end. One of the hallmarks of a genuine relationship with God is the commitment to stick with him through everything. Praise the Lord. Woo, Jesus. We're going to stick with you, Father, through everything because you stick with us. I trust in you, Lord God. I trust in you, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I trust in the Holy One. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another today while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. None of us can progress in our faith or stay true to our Lord without the help and encouragement of fellow believers. In fact, we need this kind of healthy interaction every day, not merely one day out of Sabbath. That's why you got to have your friends. Your friend that you can call, even though you might argue, even though you might fall out, but they still going to be your friend because they are your sister. They're your brother. They're the one that you call when you just need a word from God. They're the one you call when you need somebody to pray with you and pray over you. And you are the one they call when they need prayer as well because you touch in agreement in the holiness of the most holy God. That you all need someone that you can pray with and who will pray with and over you. Trust in the Lord today. Keep God first in all you do. I will trust in him. I will trust in God. I will trust in his holiness. I will trust that all things come from the Lord, that it is God that loves me, even when I may not think I'm loved. It says, I will put my trust in him. You got to say it every day. Lord, I put my trust in you. Even though to the world I may be looking a hot mess, I may be acting a hot mess, but I'm putting my trust in you because, Lord, you know how to clean up my mess and make it a message. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for his grace. I thank God this morning for his goodness. I thank God this morning for his love, and that I can hear his voice, that my heart is not hardened. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all glory, of all honor. But today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful. I'm grateful because I know I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't get me crying up in here, Lord. Because the Holy Spirit has just hit me like a ton. I am so thankful. You know, I know that I've gone through. I know I'm going through, but it's all right because he's with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 3:19. We see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. There is a direct and clear connection between unbelief and disobedience. When we disobey, it is always because we do not believe either God's promises of blessing or his warning against rebellion. And that is our word this morning. We want to be blessed. And I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 1. which is where our word comes from today. And it says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I and the children whom God has given me. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. I thank God today for this mighty, mighty word that he has given us, and that we listen and know that there is no God like our God, that there is none that can compare to the Most High. There is none that can compare to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is none like him, none who will be like him, and none that can measure up to him. So thank God today for his grace. Thank God today for his love. Thank God today that he has given you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. And I'm going to tell you this, what we talked about at the beginning of this month, I hope that you are able to do, which is to read a proverb a day. And today we're on Proverbs chapter 7, and I pray that you put it in your arsenal of word today, that you read Proverbs chapter 7 and allow God to work in your life. And actually, I believe we do have a little bit of time. If there is anyone that would like to call into the show, the number is 213-943-3597. And that is our call-in number Monday through Friday, Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 o'clock, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. It's an hour block, and I'm grateful for Blog Talk Radio and for all of you. Thanking God that he is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, and that he blesses us beyond measure because we are his children. So keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. And as we get ready to get out of here this morning, I am going to go to Proverbs chapter 7. And it says this, my son, obey my words and treasure my commands, keep my commands and live, and guard my instructions as you would the pupil of your eye. Tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your relatives. She will keep you from a forbidden woman, a wayward woman with a flattering talk. And, you know, this is a father speaking to his son. And it says, the story of the seduction. It says, and this is also God speaking to us about sin. And it says, the story of seduction. At the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. I saw among the inexperienced and noticed among the youth a young man lacking sense. Crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house. At twilight in the evening, in the dark of the night, a woman came to meet him dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. She is loud and defiant. Her feet do not stay at home. She lurks at every corner. She grabs him and kisses him. She brazenly says to him, I've made your fellowship offerings today. I fulfill my vows. So I came out to meet you, to search for you, and I found you. I've spread covering on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love making until morning. Let's feast on each other's love. My husband isn't home. He went on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him and will come home at the time of the full moon. She seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively like an ox going to the slaughter. like a deer bounding toward a trap, until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting onto a snare. He doesn't know it will cost him his life. Now, sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words from my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray into her path. But she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. And this is coming out of my Tony Evans Study Bible, which is a CSB, a Christian Standard Bible, which is why it's a little different than the New King James and King James. But I just wanted to hit this real quick in chapter 7. And it says that sexual immorality is a personified as a woman on the prowl. You know, God does not want us to be promiscuous. And it says this is a reminder that the Israelites were commanded to make God's word an incapable part of their everyday life, an intricate part of their daily life. Sexual immorality is personified as a woman on the corner of our culture. In fact, immorality is posed to entrap new victims. But the one who impulsively pursues a woman who is not his wife, whether she is single, married to another, or beckoning from a digital screen, doesn't know intuitively that it will cost him his life. We must be warned. And we have all been warned to be pure of God, to thank God for all that he does in our life, and above all things. And again, I will put my trust in him. And before we get out of here today, a word from our sister Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word is going to be Friday as well as yesterday and today's word, because we were a little bit earlier on Friday. And it says this, good morning. Trouble may come and go, but God is constant. He's always there, and he always cares about you. Have a fantastic Friday. And on yesterday, it was this, good morning. Pray that happiness be at your door. May it knock early, stay late, and leave the gift of God's peace, love, joy, and good health behind. Have a super Saturday. And for this morning, it is a scripture, and it's this, Psalms 37, verses 23 through 24, and it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them up by the hand. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember to put your trust in him. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap.